I want to tell you a little bit about some of the resources that we have put together for this series. We're really excited about taking the chance to slowly and in really reflective posture to work through the Lord's Prayer line by line. It's powerful to know that these are the words that Jesus prayed in solitude and also around the table with his disciples. And we get to echo those syllables here 2,000 years later. One of the things that you would have gotten as you came in is this notebook, this one right here. We hope that you'll take the chance over the next 40 days. We're entering into the Lenten season. Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday. And the church traditionally thinks of that as 40 days because you subtract the Sundays and a few other days and you sort of multiply the derivatives and you end up with 40. And the 40 days is a chance for us to turn our hearts towards the one who turned his face to Jerusalem on our behalf. In Luke chapter 9, it says Jesus turned his face toward Jerusalem knowing what was coming, heading there on our behalf. And so we turn our hearts in that direction. And so we hope that this journal will be just one tool that the Lord uses in your life. Maybe it's on the Sunday mornings as we go line by line. Maybe it's in your prayer time. As you reflect throughout this 40 days and lean into what God might have for you in this Lenten or 40-day season. In fact, inside the journal, you'll see a bookmark, and this bookmark has the Lord's Prayer on it. One of the things we wanted to invite you to do as a family is to, at noon every day, stop and say the Lord's Prayer together. It's one way that that word hour will ring out in perhaps a new way. You might be in your prayer closet, as it were, but even as you withdraw into solitude, into those places, when you say hour, you'll remember you are not alone. Across the globe and across the city, there are people who love you who are also saying the same prayer. So at noon every day, we would love to just join together in the Lord's Prayer for this 40 days. I kind of get the feeling we're going to start craving it. That moment. The earliest church didn't let go of the patterns and rhythms of their Jewish faith. They fasted each week. They prayed routinely, regularly, in rhythmic ways every day. I think it's perhaps a sign for us to lean back in that direction. Peter says, taste and see where the Lord is good. Well, you start to crave what you've tasted and realized is so, so good. So I'd love to do that with you, together with you. You also notice on the inside cover, we had a team, Brandy and Danae, put together this journal for us, and there's a QR code there. And the QR code will lead you to a page on the website that has a lot of resources that I think will help us immerse ourselves in the prayer these 40 days. There's podcasts, there's sermons from John Mark Comer and from Tim Keller and a few others like that. There's songs. I mean, Andrea Bocelli is singing the Lord's Prayer in this resources section. Probably you should start your day that way every day. And then you too could be Andrea Bocelli when you grow up. Just try it. Just try it. So there's these resources. There's songs, there's sermons, there's podcasts, there's little videos just to taste and see that the Lord is good. One of the resources you'll see there are a list of books, but one book that we're using primarily as we walk through, this is a little book by Dr. Wesley Hill. It's just called The Lord's Prayer. You might have walked past the table on your way in and seen it, and the QR code will lead you to an opportunity to purchase if you want to follow along that way. And it just breaks down the prayer pretty similarly to the way that we're going to do it. And each time there's a reflection on that line of the prayer, why Jesus might so intentionally have said these words for us to be able to join him in saying these words as we pray the Lord's Prayer. So we're glad to be starting today on that journey. We're glad to be turning our hearts towards Jesus. Pastor Mike's going to come lead us, and we're going to lean into this life of prayer that we're called to and to this particular prayer that will shape us. I know it will. Let's lean in together.
Yeah, let's do it. Thank you, Adam. Don, Pastor Mike, pleasure to be with you. Thank you to the board who encouraged me, even demand me, to take some time off from teaching every year. And I can tell you that it's been refreshing, allows my mind to go and work on other things that are important for the church and the kingdom. And so I'm back, and I'm very glad to be back with you. This series will be as much about prayer in general as it is about the Lord's Prayer. We have always have a lot of learning to do about prayer. I was reminded of I remember a pastor talking, this has been decades ago now, he was talking about a moment that he had with an elderly woman who was a shut-in. He was visiting her, and he was really humbled and even reproved by her words, although she didn't intend them that way. She was pretty close to passing on, and she hadn't been involved in the church for a few years, and she asked to talk with him, and he came to visit with her, and she was very distressed, very concerned at how he was going to get by without her. And he was confused because she had not been involved. She hadn't served. She, as far as he knew, she wasn't involved in any way at all. And finally, he found some diplomatic way to say, well, you know, like, what do you mean? Like, what should I be worried about? And she goes, I pray for you every single day. And the reality is there probably wasn't anybody else that did that. It's pretty rare. But she understood something that we often fail to realize, something about prayer, something about how important it is, what it does for us and through us and to us. And the next 40 days, I hope, maybe even in addition to learning something more about the Lord's Prayer, digging into it, that we get a new appreciation and a new vibrancy and even intentionality with our prayer. I should ask you how your prayer life is. What's it like? Do you bow your head? Do you kneel? Do you lay on the floor and look at the ceiling tiles? How is your prayer life? Do you close your eyes? Do you talk out loud? What's it like? It's very unique space. There isn't really a right or wrong per se, right? Depends. Some of you are incredible prayer warriors. I know this because I've asked you to pray for things, and you've prayed for them, and things happen when you pray. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just a particular gift, but I am deeply indebted to those of you that pray regularly and pray fiercely for the church and for your loved ones and for me and my family. It's a blessing to have you as friends. My mom's one of those people. When I see her, she will ask about you. If you've had something going on in your life and it's been known either through the prayer chain or through my own voicing it to her, when I get together, she will ask for you by name because she prays every day for you and the things that I've asked her to pray for. It's a great example. And you know people like this in your life, right? We oftentimes pray. Here's what I'm trying to say. Pretty much all of us find our own prayer life not to be at the level we would like it to be. Even the prayer warriors. When I talk to you, there's just normally something, there's some aspiration, there's some idea that we don't rise to. I don't know if that means truthfully that there's anything wrong with you, but we tend to travel with that idea that our prayers aren't what they ought to be or should be. I hope we can gravitate away from that too, to some degree. I don't mean to lower the standard, but it would be good if we can engage prayer in such a way that we feel that we have met with God to the degree that we can, and it is good to do, rather than grading ourselves all that much. So the next 6 weeks, our hope is to take steps in good direction regarding our prayer life, and I hope you'll join us. Attack all those resources that Adam just gave you, and anticipate something new and fresh. We're going to be studying the Lord's Prayer, so here's what I thought we would do. Let's stand together. Let's start by praying this prayer together. You'll notice that many of you have memorized or know of different prayers. This is sort of the King James-ish version. I say ish because this one actually says the word trespasses, which is oftentimes debts or sins, depending on you. And this one does not have the doxology, which is thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You know that last line that's often there in the Lord's Prayer. That part was not given to us by Jesus. I'll explain that later. But here's the one that I'd like for us to read together. So let's do it. Here we go. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. All right, make yourselves comfortable again. Let me ask you a couple questions. What did that reading do for you? Did it change you? Did that 30, 45 seconds change you on any level? Did it reshape your thinking in any way? Did it move your heart? Did it inspire any action? Did it stir any emotion? Will it help you with decisions that you face today? Did it prepare you for battle? Did it spawn other prayers? Did it bring anyone to mind? You know, it was Jesus' intention when he gave us the prayer that we would do more than say it, that all those sorts of things and more would happen through the process of the repetition of that prayer. So there's two big things, and one of them I've already mentioned for the most part, that I hope this series brings about for us. One, that Jesus' prayer, and I love calling it Jesus' prayer, and that'll become clear as we go on here. I would hope that Jesus' prayer would become a continuous, indispensable, shaping part of your daily life. That's my prayer for this prayer, that it would become something that moves you, deepens you, creates action in you, brings others to mind, causes things to happen in your heart and in your life. And secondarily, similarly, that solitude would become profoundly meaning to you. Solitude. And that too will come clear why I'm pointing at that particular discipline. I'll barely get started on it this morning, but we'll probably talk about it a few times during this series, solitude and the importance of it. So we actually even barely get started on the Lord's Prayer this week. This is more introductory than everything else. But to restate, I'm hoping that the vibrancy of Jesus' prayer will come alive for us and the value of solitude, okay? All right, so let me talk briefly about the context of the Lord's Prayer, or maybe even the way, when it was delivered. When Jesus spoke these words and said, here, pray this way, what would be going on generally with regard to prayer during that time would be prayers that were fairly lengthy, pretty formulaic, and in large part reserved for religious elites. That one of the things that they did was central to Jewish worship was a set of prayers called the 18 benedictions. Alive and well in Jesus' day. And they would have covered a lot of the same concepts that are captured in the Lord's Prayer and more. And they would recite these rhythmically. They were intense, difficult to manage, lots of them. But they were always a part of their worship in very formal ways. And Jesus would have prayed them himself. And in some form, he would have prayed them at least three times a day. It was part of the rhythm of being a Jew. This simple prayer from the Son of God to the disciples, to you and me, is a radical shift of what prayer was like in that context. We'll see that very personal prayer, very accessible by anybody, simple, not shallow, simple, deep, 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 rich. And it changed how people related to God. There is so much wrapped up in this short, simple prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples and by association he gave to us. The early church really, really took it to heart. They prayed it at least daily, oftentimes the first time before sunrise. It became part of the Didache, That's like, it looks like, if you spelled it, it's Didache, D-I-D-A-C-H-E, the Didache. It was really one of the first writings outside the New Testament that circulated among the churches, and it was kind of a discipleship guide. As they were learning and growing and wanting to pass along the faith, they started a little discipleship manual called the Didache, and the Lord's Prayer would have been in that. In fact, that's where the doxology first got connected to the Lord's Prayer. And then when the Gospels were rewritten in later manuscripts, they actually started including that doxology in the manuscripts. It's not really in the original ones. And the Lord's Prayer really profoundly affected the early church. There's an interesting example of that. When Paul wrote his letter to the Galatians, he would have been writing to largely non-Jewish people. Didn't even speak, wouldn't have spoken the same language. When he did, and you'll notice this in Galatians chapter 4, he says this, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. In the middle of his letter, he would have written that word Abba, which would have actually been a different language than what he was writing, and no non-Jew would probably know that word. But he used it. And not only did he use it, he supplemented it with some idea about what it means and where it comes from. Did you catch that? The Spirit of his Son sent, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And those people would have known that word because they would have been praying that word and praying that, because that's actually how the Lord's Prayer starts. Abba, Father of us. We know that it was shaping the church. There were words that were a part of their vernacular that would not have been, and they were. The prayer did more than the early church than stir up nostalgic feelings about church and Jesus, which is what oftentimes the Lord's Prayer does for those of us, that it's been a part of our rhythm, a part of our church experience. We get a little bit nostalgic about it, and we are moved in certain ways because it's connected with lots of memories. But there was so much more that was intended for it and is intended for it to shape us. So here's what I thought I would do as an overview for the whole series. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to show you the prayer, maybe in words that could begin to mean a little bit more to us, maybe help us understand a little bit deeper, and then I'll expand on it a little bit. Okay, so it starts, like I said, Abba, Father of us. This is like Papa, Daddy. It's much, much less formal. And you might ask, like, how do we rate? How do we actually find ourselves in a position where the God of the universe, the creator of all things, allows us to come into his presence and go, Daddy? But he does. With the very prayer, he invites that and offers that access. We can just, without shame and without fear, we can come into the presence of God and rest and cry out and vent and sleep on his shoulder and relax and be who we are and where we are and say, Abba, Father of us. It's a significant part too, right? What's Jesus doing when he's giving this very first line? He's saying, your father, my father is your father. The way I approach the Father, you can approach the Father. The confidence in which I speak to him and be with him, you can be with him. He is Abba, Father of us. In the heavens, you could say in the skies, because it's not talking about the future eternity that believers will end up in. That's not it. It is, he is above us and beyond us, yet we're understanding what's implied here is that he is near us. In the heavens, yet with us, above, beyond, but near and involved, but of course, bigger than we can imagine. Father of us, Daddy, Papa, of all things yet here. This is where it starts. Your sacred name, let it be honored. You are almighty. You are king. You are creator. You are in control. You are perfect in love and in thought and in justice and in action. That is all true, God. It is true. The prayer is saying, let it be true in my heart. Let my life reflect that reality. It is true no matter what I do or what I think or what I say. But God, your holy name, let it be honored by me and all. Your kingdom, your reign, your rule, let it come. Oh, that your power, God, would be the most influential force. That your commands, your way, your direction would be what animates the institutions and the laws and the minds and the hearts of humanity. Are you with me? Your kingdom come, your rule, your reign, let it be so. It's true on the cosmic level. It is true. You do rule. Let it rule here, God. Let it rule in my heart. Papa, Father of us, let your holy name be honored. Let your kingdom come. Your desire, your will, let it be done. Whether we understand your will or not, God, whether we understand your desires, do what's best. Don't listen to me. Don't be influenced by us. Always make things that you love to have happen, happen. Your will be done. Do you hear the call of the heart that is to come to God? Papa, Father of us, may your kingdom come. May your rule come. May your will be done in the heavens as well as on the earth. To all of that, it's kind of blocked in, those first three. Sacred name be honored, reign to come, desire be done in heaven as it is in heaven on earth. The first part is directed at you, God, at him. Your sacred name, your rule and reign, your will, your desires, in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. And then furthermore, now, us, the second part, us, sustain us today with bread. Father, you care about our well-being. We know that. Keep us from being wrapped up in concerns that you're not in control. Don't give us, catch this, daily bread. Don't give us so much that we carry on without you. That's the core of that. Give us this day our daily bread is the same as saying, don't give me too much. Give me just enough. Keep me in a place of dependence on you. Some of the toughest stuff for us to get into our heart and our mind is right there. Keep us close by giving us just enough. Sustain us, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We haven't forgotten, God, how Jesus made forgiveness central, critical to spiritual, physical, emotional health. We remember yours for us and the no exception, continuous fruit of yours through us to everyone in our life. Are you with me? Father, forgive us as we are forgiving those. This is a cycle of forgiveness that is central to the Christian life. As we are forgiving, let us be forgiven, and on and on and on. Forgive us. Rescue us from the grip of evil rather than leading us into testing. I find this almost funny in a weird kind of way. Not funny, ha ha. I should just hear this, hear me out on this. Listen to what he's saying. Rather than leading us into testing. Good heavens, Lord, please don't test our mettle. Please don't. We don't need a reminder of how poorly we're doing. I don't need a reminder of how poorly I resist the temptations of the evil one. Please don't lead me in there. Please don't lead us into the test. You, Jesus, were awesome at that. A plus, high marks. Me, not so much. Please don't lead me into the test. I know what you're going to find. You know what you're going to find. Instead, please rescue us. Just rescue us from the grip of the evil one. We desperately need you. We don't need more proof of that. Just save us from the appetites of our heart and the irresistible lies of the liar. Papa, Father of us, your name is holy, let it be holy in us. Your rule is over all, let it be here. Your desires are better than our desires, let them come. We know you'll provide for us. Don't give us too much. We're forgiving others. Please continue to forgive us. We will keep the cycle going and rescue us from our own hearts. Continue to fail. So let me ask you again, does that change your thinking? Does that stir you? Does it humble you? Does it calm you? Does it bring anybody to mind? Does the idea that we are to forgive everybody in our life bring anybody to mind? Does it shape your day? It sure could. When we think it through and we allow it to have the depth that is its depth, you can imagine why this ought to be and might should be a rhythm throughout our day again and again and again. Am I right? Amen? Can you hear me? Do you hear that? Okay. Jesus said, right before the prayer, he said, this then is how you should pray. Interesting choice of words, not what you should pray, how you should pray. Certainly it is what we should pray. Here's what you should pray. But he said, how? How to pray? In this spirit, in these sorts of categories, honoring God, your own ownership in the kingdom life, the theological soundness of it, and the practicalities of it. This is how you should pray. Let me give you some structure. Let me give you what in order to drive the how you pray. Jesus' prayer was more than a prayer. The Lord's Prayer, Jesus' prayer, is a manifesto for kingdom living. This is how we live out the Christian life. This is how we follow Jesus in our lives. It's a blueprint for aligning human hearts and divine purpose. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, you are aligning yourself with God. Have you ever thought to yourself, if only I knew what God wanted? Right? I've asked myself that question myriad times. What is it, God, that you want from me in this moment? He could say, well, I've given you this prayer. This is what I want. This is what I want from you. I want you to align your heart with my purposes. This, the Lord's Prayer, it's a hope and it's an invitation that our trust in the Holy God, our obedience, our attending to his rule, our aspirations, aligning with his desires, our trust, our obedience, our aspirations, honor God. and that dependence and forgiveness and grace shape our day. Are you picking up what I'm putting down here? This is just another way of sort of looking at the prayer. The three things toward God: trusting his name, obedience, his rule, aspiration, desires of his heart and ours, dependence, right? Provision, daily forgiveness, grace shaping our day, rescuing us from evil. The prayer is an invitation and a hope. It is more than just words to repeat. As a minimum, they should just be repeated. But they're intended to reshape our hearts and our lives. Let me just give you another. There's nothing official about these things that I'm putting. I'm just thinking of different ways. Daddy, Father of us, above all yet near, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, above and below. Keep us dependent with just enough. Keep us forgiven and forgiving. Keep us from the evil that ensnares our hearts. We need to live here all the time. So let me scratch the surface and hit the first line just a little bit more and whet your appetite for this idea about solitude. Probably already made this point fairly clear. The very first line, Daddy, Father of us, is a very intimate, humble place. Our Papa. Jesus set the prayer up that way. If you read just prior to the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, you read this in verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Go into a room, go into a private place, go into solitude and be with the unseen Father in the heavens. Be with him. Even though you can't see him, go into a room and be with him. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you, will come to you, will be present for you. We tend to think of rewards as the material, physical things that we need in this world. When the Bible talks about the presence of God or the reward of God, it is his very presence. And there's something very moving about what Jesus says here. Go into the room, be with the unseen Father who sees you. I don't know if it gets any more intimate than being seen. Right? That's normally a very scary place to go. He says, I want you to go into the room with the unseen Father, knowing that you're going to be seen and he will reward you with his presence. What's implied there is even though he sees you, even though he sees you, he will reward you with his presence. Come near to God. Join God in an unseen place, unseen by others, right? This is a private place, and be seen, and he will be with you. This is not what Jesus is simply asking us to do and to say. It's what he did and said repetitiously. Jesus consistently was retreating from visibility, from demands, from pouring out. I would suggest that without understanding and moving in the direction of the context of the very first line, that the rest of the prayer has very little hope of being other than words and rote. This intimacy, this solitude is necessary, not only for full impact of the prayer itself, but we'll talk about this next week and the weeks following, to be able to engage the rest of the world in a healthy fashion. The first line, in a sense, is a call to solitude. And I understand in and of myself and likely with you as well, that is a largely misunderstood discipline. We confuse, I'll give you a little taste, we confuse solitude with loneliness. We don't want to feel lonely, and we are, so we don't like solitude. Are you with me? You know what I'm saying? They're radically different, and we need to understand the difference. Solitude often doesn't mean the eradication of loneliness. They can actually coexist. We'll talk more about that. We need to know the difference. We need to know how they actually work together throughout the Christian life, that is loneliness and solitude. But today, with the remaining couple minutes, I just want to paint you a picture and leave you with a challenge. Okay, deep breath. First, I want you to consider three forms in which we understand the Word of God to be. When you think about the Word of God, there are really three ways that we experience that. Number one, Jesus. You know, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. We have the written Word, your canonized collection of inspired scripture, as we understand that to be the Word of God. And do you know what the third one is? It's Jesus' words. Those are the words of God. Jesus' words are the words of God. This is a weird little bit of subtlety. When you read the scriptures, what you're mostly reading are the inspired words of God through prophets and disciples and apostles. God inspired, he pressed words into them, and they penned them, they put them on paper for us. They are spirit-led, spirit-organized, spirit-canonized words, the written word of God. When you come across the words of Jesus in those scriptures, those are not inspired words. Do you understand what I mean? Those are not inspired by God to be written by someone else. Those words are God's words. Are you with me? That's entirely different than an inspired word. So we have the incarnate word, we have the written word, and we have Jesus' words. And those words of Jesus are alive and well, right there on the page and by the Spirit in our heart. Remember what Paul said about the Abba Father verse. Remember what he said to the Galatian church? Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba Father. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, you are praying the words of God with the Son of God by the Spirit of God. This is a crazy intersection right here. They were spoken by the incarnate Son of God. These are eternal words that cannot and will not go away. Even if this, all the scripture in the world was burned and lost, these words would live by the Spirit in our heart. And when we speak them, they are empowered by the Spirit. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, you are praying words that are right now in the very time that you are saying, being said to you by Jesus and by the Spirit, being given back to Jesus and the Father. This is the picture I want to paint for you. When you go into the room, when you heed Jesus' call to come into the private space, you're not alone. Jesus is there. And while you say the prayer, he is saying the prayer. You're always saying the Lord's Prayer with Jesus. And the Spirit is welling up inside, and those words are going through you and out of you back to God. Jesus is inviting us to share the same relationship that he has with God. You, me, Jesus, you and Jesus in a room, me and Jesus in a room, with the same Father present with us, ministering, listening, hearing, growing, shaping. The picture is to always pray, to always be receiving and returning these words alongside with Jesus by the Spirit. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head. If you want to close your eyes, close your eyes. I want to invite you for a moment into solitude. And I want to prep you a little bit for this, because for some of you, it might seem a little bit odd to do what I'm going to imagine you to do. You're sitting, not with a whole bunch of people. You're just sitting next to Jesus, and he's with you. And you might think, well, that's kind of silly. But let me ask you this. We know that Jesus rose and is alive today, transformed, of course. He is with us. He promised to be with us, to always be with us. So I ask you, which is more true? The imagination that Jesus is beside you, or walking through your day forgetting that he's there? This imagination of Jesus with you isn't simply imagination. We are imagining, but it is a real thing. So let me invite you, head bowed, eyes closed if you're comfortable with it. It's you and Jesus addressing your papa, your father, the father of us. The presence of God is here. It is among us. The Spirit of God, for those who have trusted Christ, is within you, intersecting, interceding, connecting Jesus and you and God, and the same Spirit that resides in Jesus and the Father. And I'll ask you to say along with me and to say along with Jesus the Lord's Prayer. So I'll say, and y'all repeat, Abba, Father, you are holy. Your name is holy. Let it be so in me. You're in charge. Let it be in my heart and in this world. Let your will be done. Father, let your desires come to be on earth as it is in heaven. Provide for us, God, what we need. No more. Forgive us. Oh, Abba, Father, forgive us as we forgive those who've sinned against us. Please don't test me. I'm broken. I need you. Show me mercy. Deliver me from the lies. Amen.